Welcome to the Sports Wrap Up. It is week three. Very excited to be back here after perhaps one of the people on Twitter are wondering if it is the most exciting sports weekend or NFL weekend in history. That's what my Twitter is buzzing about. So very fun NFL divisional round weekend. We're going to have some guests talk about the NBA as well as some quick hits around the rest of the world in sports. But of course, I am not alone. I am joined by two spectacular guests. First with me is Brian Cohen. Brian, how are you doing?
I am doing great. I'm so excited to be here. What a time to be here. Very excited to talk about the world of the NFL division around and everything else. So this is, I've been waiting for this all day.
Brian, last night, Sam Moore messaged me after the game. And so I don't know who you got on the podcast, but they are incredibly lucky. It's Brian. He said, oh, he's been on Twitter. So you're good.
It felt that way Saturday night and that way at all of Sunday's games too. So this is perfect.
But we're not alone. We are joined by the wonderful Zach Muhammad. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm a casual NFL fan, but even I was super excited by this weekend's game. That Bills-Chiefs game was just probably the best game of football I've ever seen. So I'm super excited to talk about it with you guys and provide a little NBA update along the way as well. So.
Yeah, did each game get more exciting this weekend? I think like if you like track the four games, I think they potentially increase in excitement every time, like starting off with a very exciting game. So there's lots to talk about with the NFL. We will talk about the NBA and lots more as we get into it. But the first thing I like to do is ask our guests, what's your sports background? Who are your teams? Who do you root for? That sort of thing. So, Brian, why don't you start us off?
Sure. So I am a New York born and bred, so I make the correct decisions in life. So I root for the Yankees and Giants and then unfortunately the Knicks. So not much happening there. I played baseball in my life. So baseball for me has always been my number one sport. I consider the Yankees my religion. So that's where I fall. So definitely a diehard Yankee fan, diehard Giants fan. And then, you know, when the Knicks are sort of good, I would like to be more of a diehard Knicks fan, but they make it very challenging because I don't want to get into an early grave. So other than that, Yankees and Giants.
This is great. We can, we'll clash when the Yankees play the Blue Jays, but then when either of us are playing the Red Sox, I'm like, yeah, it's fine. The Yankees can win. I don't know if you feel the same. Yeah. It's like, it's fine.
No, it's actually the Canadian presence in art. There's a big Toronto Blue Jay presence that I have to battle it out with, and the Blue Jays have been pretty good lately. So
they have been pretty good.
Makes it pretty contentious.
Bright future, it looks like, for the Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah. Zach, what about you?
Yeah, I grew up playing basketball my whole life. I was always bad at every other sport, but basketball was the only sport I was average at. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid, I saw Ben Wallace on TV and he had the cleanest afro, and then that just hooked me in basketball. I was like, wow, I want an afro like that. So then I got really into NBA, started following the Pistons. Once they fell off, I went back to the Grizzlies, even though they left Vancouver. So I was a Memphis Grizzlies fan for a while. And that's pretty much it, more or less. Basketball is my main sport, but I've dabbled in every other sport. When I was a kid, I used to love the Red Sox, actually.
Oh,
Manny
no.
Ramirez and David Ortiz.
What a clash I put together. What a career. Yankees, the Red Sox. Oh, no. Sorry.
Yeah, I used to love those guys back in the day. But yeah, I used to watch every sport. I remember when I was a kid, I used to wake up and instead of watching Saturday morning cartoons, I'd watch English Premier League in the mornings, actually.
That is one of my favorite activities. I chat with the great Antonio Mazzaro a lot because we are both Liverpool fans. I love the timing of English soccer, just being on the mornings on the weekend, is one of my favorite activities. I just wake up, I have my coffee, and I watch some soccer. It's really delightful. Do you have an NFL team, Zach?
No.
You don't have to have one. I'm going to tell you don't actually have to have a team. But if you have one, that's great.
Nah, the Seahawks, when they're good. I have a couple of NFL players I really like. Like Jamar Chase is really cool. I just love everything he does. But yeah, I don't really have a team. I just have certain players I really like. When I was a kid, my favorite NFL player was Ed Reed, actually. So the Ravens back in the day were my favorite team.
That's true. I'm still a Blue Jays fan, but the more I play, I feel like fantasy baseball or anything like that, I feel like the more I like then just fall in love with players. There's also a thing where like when your guy leaves, your team, or girl, you know, if they leave, that you tend to like, you know, that's how I became a bit of a Phillies fan at one point in my life, embarrassingly so, but the great Roy Halladay went to go play in Philadelphia. So I was like, I could like the Phillies now, I think. I don't anymore, but that's okay. Let's get into the NFL. Brian, was it the greatest weekend in football in the NFL, the history of the NFL? What did Twitter say?
I think it had to be. I think the consensus was yes. And I think this is always the weekend I look forward to the most because, you know, you get the final four teams in each conference. So you're between the four games, you're usually bound to have at least two that are like pretty top notch. And you sometimes with the conference championships, you know, one is a dud, Super Bowl. We've had some good and bad games, so that doesn't always live up to the hype. But with this round, you get two games each day. You get the best four teams in each conference. So you usually get some great games. And here, I mean, like you said at the top, like each game got better. Like the first game is, oh, this is great. Second game, oh, this is great. Third game, oh my God, this is great. Fourth game, this is the greatest game of all time. Yeah. Like, I mean, I wish there was another game. What else can we do?
Let's keep going.
It was incredible.
I have to give a big shout out to AJ Mass, who was on in week one. And he said, gosh, I really hate this. Like the extra teams, the games next week, they're all going to be blowouts. And then I don't know what he said. He's like, and then the weekend after, it'll be good. Just like exactly what happened. Like last week, like the biggest story was the Cowboys not being good. Unfortunately, like the Bills had a perfect game, but there were so many like basically blowouts. And then this week was so fun. Every game, the first three games, every game came down to the last play of the game, which we'll get into. But Zach, you said you're an NFL casual fan, but you saw some of the action this weekend.
Yes, I did. I missed the Packers 49ers, but I watched like bits and pieces of every other game. I caught the second half of the Rams Bucks, and then I watched the Bills Chiefs game in its entirety.
Yeah, that was the best one. Yeah, it was so fun. Twitter was so fun. It was great. I mean, we could start with the Bengals and the Titans. I will, you know, I said my brother is a Titans fan. I sort of, you know, have backseat rooting interest in the Titans. I was very much hoping for a Titans win, but I kind of said, I can just see the Bengals coming and winning. And the Bengals do just that. Joe Burrow pulls out a win. I guess I'm giving a lot of credit to the quarterbacks, but it's actually the kickers in these games, so I should be giving credit to.
Yeah. What's the Daddy Mac, though? Whatever Everett McPherson's name is floating around. I mean, the great, what is his quote after the game where he was doing the warm ups before the game winning kick? And then Burrow goes, oh, yeah, well, you know, he said, I guess we're going to the AFC Championship game even before warm ups. Put that on a T-shirt and see in Cincinnati forever. Yeah, I mean, he was great. Burrow was great. Like you said, Zach, Jamar Chase is super fun to watch. Bengals are just a super likable team. I mean, like everyone around them, like how do you not root for Joe Burrow, the whole team, you know, the great story that haven't won forever. Of course, all the memes about the fact that their win last week, first time you could send a text message about a Cincinnati Bengals win, because they added once text messaging was invented. So how can you not root for them? And I mean honestly, I like the Titans too. I've always been a big Mike Vrabel fan. I think he's a great coach. I always kind of saw a soft spot for Ryan Tannehill too. I kind of think he sometimes gets a bad rap, but it was two very likable teams, so I was honestly fine with whoever came out. And then it was just a very exciting game all the way through.
It was very exciting. I do wonder whether Tannehill remains in Tennessee next season. Yeah, I just think that end of the game, you know, it was a pretty, it was 19-16. It feels like you got to do a little bit more than that. But I'm with you. I think, again, I was rooting for the Titans, but I'm still pretty happy that, like, we'll see the Bengals play next weekend. It should be fun. They play the Chiefs next weekend.
Yeah, the Titans defense balled out. I mean, they got like, what, 7-8 sacks on Joe Burrow or something? So
it was unbelievable.
This is my problem with Tannehill. I don't know. And, you know, with the Titans, I don't know how you lose a game in which you make the most sacks. I can't remember what the record they broke, but is it team
history? I think it was the most sacks for a losing playoff game. I think they had 10. Was it 10? I think even they had that high. Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I've liked Tannehill, but I mean, this game, I mean, I don't know how you Titans roll it back with him. I mean, his first pass of the game was a pick. First pass of the second half was a pick. And his last pass of the game was a pick. Like, it's really hard to come back from that. Especially when, you know, you watch the other teams in the conference with Josh Allen and Mahomes doing their thing. And Titans are like, we got this guy here.
I don't know who else they go get, but yeah, they allowed nine. They had nine sacks.
Nine. Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh. Brutal. Their third down efficiency, 1-for-8. It just like was, you know, not great. Their defense kept them in it, but yeah, it's pretty rough. Yeah. I mean, Mike Vrabel, I'm a big Mike Vrabel fan. I think he potentially wins coach of the year this year. If you look at the amount of injuries that Titans team had to deal with, that Derrick Henry looked really good in the game, which is nice to see after him being injured for a lot of the season. So that was great. But yeah, brutal end. Yeah, and it comes down to the last kick. I saw a great tweet. I think it said that Tyler Bass, people were congratulating Tyler Bass on he was going to get a field goal winning kick before the Chiefs Bills game started. Because every game this weekend, other than that last one, came down to an opposing kicker winning. Getting it through the field goal. But the Bengals head to the Chiefs next week. I don't love their odds. They only scored 19 points. The Chiefs have scored a lot more than that, 42 this week and 42 last week. So we'll see. Next up,
it's going to take one hell of an effort next week from Burrow. But I don't know, like the Bengals, you know, they did beat the Chiefs a couple weeks, like a month ago, it was week 16. They beat the Chiefs, and the Chiefs were playing hard that day. They needed that win to try to get up the one seed, and that kind of cost them the spot there. So it wasn't like they were resting anyone. So,
I don't want to count out the Bengals. Yeah. Like if last week our podcast predictions probably looked very, very foolish, because I feel like at least the first three games, I think, are all upsets. The last one, it was like, I feel like there was a lot of people thinking the Bills could beat the Chiefs. And so the Chiefs win. I don't think that's an upset, but I think there's a lot of people who definitely thought the Bills could win. So if the Bengals could pull out, I would love the Bengals to beat the Chiefs next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs now are kind of like what the Warriors used to be. At first, when they came on, everyone loved them. Like Mahomes and Curry, like they had the same swagger. And now once you start winning a lot, everyone wants to see the new kid in the block pulled out. And Burrow's a new kid. So it's like, all right, we're done with the Chiefs. Let's get the Bengals in here.
That's right. So then the 49ers play the Packers, which for me is the biggest upset of the weekend. The likely MVP, I think, Aaron Rodgers, loses to Jimmy Garoppolo. Like for me, and then again, it's like, it comes down to a field goal. It's a very low scoring game, 13-10, but that's the way it goes. Aaron Rodgers is out of the playoffs. There's a tweet, I think, going around. This is in many years the first time that neither Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers are going to make it into the into the conference championships. But
yeah, and it's kind of it's more of a Brady stat. I mean, Brady's almost been they kind of just like lump Rodgers. Like, I guess Rodgers made it like 1 year probably that Brady like did Google it. It's like, searching, let's just lump Rodgers. I'm pretty sure Brady's been in the conference championship like, I don't know, 10 of 11 years probably. So the fact they just kind of slide that in there.
Channing, I kind of wanted it to be more embarrassing for Aaron Rodgers. I think the special teams really lets him down. A big play of the game is when they block that field goal, the 49ers, and return it for a touchdown to tie the game. It's not like Aaron Rodgers looks great and then he lost. His special teams lost it for him. He scored 10 points.
Yeah, I mean, they drive down the first drive of the game, like it's nothing, score a touchdown. You think, okay, this game is going to be a wrap. I mean, Packers should demolish here. They get a couple quick stops on defense, and then the Packers, like Rodgers, does nothing the rest of the game. It's wild. And I mean, he's been very disappointing in the playoffs. Like, luckily for him, he got his Super Bowl pretty early on, because if he didn't pull that off, like he would be in that conversation of like the biggest choke artist, like in that Dan Marino conversation of all these other guys that have just never pulled one out. He just happened to get his like year three or four, whenever he got it. But because since then, it's been playoff heartbreak, playoff heartbreak, playoff heartbreak. So good for him that he got it in there.
When did he win his ring?
I think it was 2010. It was 2010.
Wow. We'll pull up the stats here. I got to say, I'm pretty happy that Deebo Samuel gets to continue playing in the playoffs. It's super fun. I need to stop questioning whether Jimmy Garoppolo is like the guy for the 49ers. Again, he scored 13 points. I don't think, he didn't throw a touchdown. He did not. And he threw an interception.
He just did enough to not lose, which is really what they're really all they're looking for.
Yeah,
stand there and look pretty. That's what Jimmy G could do.
I'm playing the Rams next week. I do feel like, again, I think the Rams will beat the 49ers, but I would be very happy. I mean, a 49ers Bengals Super Bowl is not what I think most people would have predicted going.
The aesthetics of the game, though, were incredible. The snowy Lambeau Field with the 49ers and Packers logo. Like, I know it's probably more of a 32 fans thing, but that's probably one of the more iconic, beautiful logo matchups you can have in almost all sports, not even just the NFL.
Oh no, that's okay. We'll take it. I love aesthetics sports. I was watching this game in on the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. I was watching the Rams game, and there were so many people were like, "Gosh, they just have really nice helmets, huh?" The Rams.
The only uniform I like more is the Chargers powder blue. Like, that's my favorite uniform of all of sports. But other than that, like the contrast of the green and like the red of the Niners, it's just beautiful.
Hold on, let's get into it. That's your favorite uniform in all of sports?
Yeah, I still have my Tomlinson powder blue Chargers jersey I whip out every once in a while. That's my favorite. It's just beautiful.
Gosh, it's not color, even not even pinstriped. Yeah.
I know. Well, Yankees, you know, it's the Yankee uniform is like a nice suit. It's like a nice tux. It's like, yeah. You know, it's like business professional. If you want to look a little more flashy, you put on the powder blue Chargers jersey.
What's your favorite uniform in the sports, Hank?
I'm be a homer and bias here, but the OG Vancouver Grizzlies uniform is just sick. Pretty like good. The turquoise with the grizzly and stuff. I still see people rocking merch like that to this day, even people who aren't from Vancouver. So I think those jerseys are super nice. Definitely my favorite NBA jersey, if not my favorite jersey in all of sports.
My favorite logo is the throwback of the Brewers logo. I have a hat of those. I wear it all the time. And people are like, the glove with the
M and the
ball
B,
in it, but it looks
so
like
good.
An M and a B. It is so beautiful. It's so well done. I just love it.
Gosh, Brian, I feel like I've like had that, like, just like telling my friends, like, yeah. This is a beautiful logo. And they're like,
It's like my favorite, not even in sports, like my favorite logo, just like on Earth of any like company or whatever. It's just so well done with the glove and the M and the B, the color scheme. It's just fantastic.
It makes me
kind of a Brewers fan. I like when the Yankees are out, I root for the Brewers just for the logo.
I'm with you. I mean, now that they I think they use it sometimes as like a secondary or like a tertiary logo. Yeah. They have that stupid wheat M.
it looks horrible. I don't know why they do it. Just go back. Just bring back the old one.
There's so many, we could get into that 1 week, the like logos that need to return. Gosh, I gotta say, I quite like, the Toronto Maple Leafs, if we're going to talk hockey. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I can't not say the Yankees uniforms are perhaps, very good, if not the best, of the Cubs as well. I really like pinstripes apparently. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's probably where I'd go. So the 49ers, pull out a win over Aaron Rodgers. He's out. He's gone. He's out of the playoffs. I'm very excited.
Yeah, might be out of Green Bay too, potentially. A lot of,
do you think that's it?
About him being done.
There was a thing today that was like, or I think yesterday going around, like, do you think that like how many of these like guys who feel like they're near the end but haven't actually retired? I mean, it's really Rodgers and Brady. Roethlisberger said he's gone. That doesn't feel like, I don't think that feels like the end of Brady. Could be the end of Rodgers. I don't think he had a really good season. I don't know if he had a lot of fun this year.
No, and if I was Tim, I would stay like at the NFC. I don't know why he would want to like go to like the Broncos or the Steelers as good as he would make those teams. Then he has to deal with Mahomes and Allen and Herbert. Like, just the NFC just feels weaker. It's just like, I don't know if the Packers would trade him or do it somewhere in the NFC, but he should just stay there. It seems like a lot easier route.
Does he have a contract? Does he have to be traded?
I think so.
This is the thing where I'm like much more familiar. I feel like I'm not very familiar with like NFL contracts, how they work.
Yeah, I think he would have to be traded for sure.
What do you think, Zach? Is that the last game for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I kind of hope it is, to be honest. I want to see him on a new team. It'll just be interesting for the NFL. We'll create a little more parity. I feel like, let's say if he goes to the Broncos, for example, and makes them a contender, I feel like that would be pretty exciting. But I'm not sure, to be honest. Aaron Rodgers is kind of a nutcase, so...
Yeah, the nutcase in him really came out over the last 6 months. It's been quite the heel turn.
Gosh, I was saying that I feel like Rodgers before this year had this thing where like there are absolutely people who don't like Aaron Rodgers, but it felt very like sports rivalry.
Right.
That like, you know, I'm not a fan. I hate the Packers, so I don't like Aaron Rodgers. But if he like retired before this year and then like doesn't out himself as the stuff he did this year. And like, if it was like, yeah, gosh, that Rodgers really hated him, but you got to respect him. And I feel like he just lost all of that this year. Like there will not be that for when he returned. I mean, maybe the NFL, you know, people have short memories about celebrities sometimes, but
there was the whole thing when his brother was on The Bachelor, and it came out that like his entire family, or like he like distanced himself from his entire family, and everyone's wondered like, what the heck? Why did the Rodgers family like this, like cut Aaron out? And now it's like, okay, I think it's starting to make sense. I think he's kind of the black sheep. Family. I think it kind of makes sense.
Be like, you all right? You good?
Yeah. I think the dots are starting to connect here.
Yeah. I always love, I mean, like, again, I don't, Aaron Rodgers can retire or whatever. It could go somewhere else. I always do think it is interesting. I'm a big, like, I know some people hate the like, trade deadline, like they Photoshop the baseball hat on the play, but I like love seeing, and I just like love getting like the first glimpse of the player in a different uniform. Forget Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers. Who would be like the, I mean, we had a little bit of this recently with Brady going to the Buccaneers, but is there a player right now in any sport that you would be like, it would be so weird to see them in a different uniform?
It's a good question. Let's see.
Steph Curry, to me, it would be weird to see him anywhere else. I think he just, you know, he's
In my head, I always picture him in a Knicks jersey because of how close they probably almost were to taking him. So in my head, I see that.
That'd be
fun. I don't know who, like, I'm sure there's who in the NBA, Zach, would be like the crazy one that would be like, how is he not?
It's weird, like, though, because I think like LeBron is the guy he would like, he's jumped around. So like, is there, who's the, like, there has to be
probably probably Steph Curry and then Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think him seeing him in anything other than a Bucks jersey would be kind of weird. He re-signed with them for like a $200 million contract or something crazy like that. So yeah, I think it would be very odd to see him in a jersey other than a Bucks uniform.
It's just crazy with the NBA because it used to be like you had guys like Kobe and Duncan, like they're like lifers, and now it's like those guys are so few and far between because everyone just changes. I mean, if Durant, like Westbrook, everyone changes teams like every 3 years. It's not like the way it used to be.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Is there a baseball? Is there a Yankee? You can't. You don't want to see it. I mean,
but I guess seeing Judge in like a different uniform would be weird. But it's even now it's like it wouldn't be like, I don't know, anything could be expected at this point.
I don't want to put this out in the world for you, Brian, specifically, but we haven't had a good, have we had a good like Red Sox to Yankees or Yankees to Red Sox recently? Like Jacoby Ellsbury was kind of like the last one I remember where he was like the only guy to not grow his beard that year, and he's like, yeah, I'm going away.
I don't think so. Everyone's always like a reliever that pops up that switches Yankees had Euclid for 1 year, and that was super weird.
Adam Ottavino, I think, is playing.
Yeah, Adam Ottavino, that's the latest one. But he didn't like embrace it. Like he didn't grow out like a big beard after he left the Yankees like he should have. I feel like that's always the move.
Anyway, so that's our 49ers Green Bay talk. But yeah, glad to see. I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting next weekend to see if I just think there's not a lot of. Get the Rams. I don't see. So anyway, the Rams beat the Buccaneers. And gosh, did it feel like the Rams were going to lose?
I mean, this is straight out of Friday Night Lights. Like, I think if you script, like, you can't script this. Like, the Brady comes back from 28-3 in the Super Bowl, down 27-3 here. Everyone's like, there's no way, right? There's no way. And then the Rams, I think that they just like forgot how to play football. Like they just like get bubbling. They didn't know what to do. They turned off their entire offense. It was the most bizarre thing. And like, this was like the most obvious slow motion train wreck you could see coming. Like everybody was like, okay, how are they going to do it? How are they going to do it?
Well, there was also, didn't both teams fumble back to back? Like the Bucks fumbled, and then it's like the Rams just fumbled. You're like, what is happening? It was wild. That was a wild game. And then it just felt like that. Gosh, like when Tom Brady managed to score however many points, like he makes the comeback, right? Mm-hmm. It just felt like, okay, well, that's it for the Rams. I think they're gone.
That fourth down when Fournette got the touchdown, I was like, okay, I think the Rams are cooked here. But then the Buccaneers, twice they leave Cooper Kupp open, which kind of shocked me, in single coverage too, no less. You'd think they would have two people on him, and then the Stafford is able to march down the field, and the Rams are able to get the field goal and win, which kind of shocked me. I had assumed they had already choked.
I mean, the thing about the Rams, they have so many options. Like you have Kupp, you have Beckham, Higbee, Jefferson. I mean, they just have so many, that they just like, you can go, you can't just like, you know, keep only covering Kupp. That's true. There's some really nice plays. I thought Beckham had near the end of the game, had some of the best catches he's had in a while. Some people were saying that it's more in that game, he did more than he ever did in Cleveland, which is probably true as well. But it just felt like that was Brady was, that was it. He was going to storm back and win, and they were going to go on. But no, the Rams win.
I think you said you don't think he retires. You think he comes back again?
I don't think so, because he said this thing where like he feels like he'll keep playing until he has a bad, like he feels like he has a bad year in it, right? Like that's, he's going to come back. Mm. And this just like season does not feel like that ending, like to storm back in that way. Does not feel like that's how he ends it. If he ends it, I think that's actually like a pretty good ending. like
it is a really good ending.
You know, the other than like winning, but then if you win, doesn't he just feel like, well, if I won,
right,
win again? So the idea of like almost being able to do it, but then losing, and not really by his own, you know, again, it's a field goal at the end of the game. Defense, you know, they managed to get up the field again. So yeah, I mean, yeah, kind of feels like that would be, you know, be a pretty good way to go out. I just don't know.
I kind of found myself rooting for him a little bit. Well, like, you know, the way, yeah, like the bloody lip after like the hit, he was jarring with the referee. It was, I don't know, it was kind of fun to see that side of Brady kind of pop out. I kind of find myself rooting for him a little bit. He's just like fun to have in the mix. Especially now that he's on the Patriots, because like I was able to separate my hatred of him and the Patriots. Like the Patriots are still strongly rooted against, but when he went to the Bucs, I didn't like hate him as much. So like he's just a fun person to have in the mix in those playoff games, because chaos always happens. Like he's always involved in like these dramatically wild playoff games. Yeah. So him being in there, like I feel like would have been a lot more fun for next week. So like I was bummed that they lost.
I like Stafford a lot. I think that there's some like funness to Matt Stafford, that he's like really good and then can be like kind of bad at times. Like he throws a lot of interceptions. And so like it's like kind of fun. But I you're right. I think, you know, if we talk about how Aaron Rodgers sort of like blew his reputation this year, I feel like Brady leaving the Patriots actually like did this thing to people where they're like, oh, maybe I don't hate him that much. You know, maybe I don't hate him as much as I thought I did.
Yeah. Get that Boston stink off you. That's the move.
It's true. Yeah. So I really thought that, and I thought it would be fun if Brady won, but you know, the Rams also score a field goal in the last play of the game to win the game. And then the last game of the weekend, perhaps the best game of the weekend, this wild Chiefs Bills game. It was wild. That's the only word to describe. It's just absolutely wild.
Yeah, I mean, this was the game I think everyone was most anticipating coming into the weekend. And then with how dramatic the other three games were, in my head, like, okay, well, we can't have all four be good. So I was like, all right, so this probably is going to be like some weird bust. Like, I don't know, someone's going to get hurt, or it's going to be a really weird game or whatever, and it's not going to live up to the hype. And then both teams drive down, score touchdown on the opening possession. And I'm like, okay, well, never mind. This is also going to be a classic. So buckle up. Here we go.
Yeah, they both scored like a ton of points the week before. Like Bills had that perfect game. The Chiefs scored 42 points a week before. So yeah, it kind of felt like it was going to be this high scoring game. But yeah, each of their first drives, they put points on the board. So, gosh, it was really fun. But then it was a good game. And then it was like the fourth quarter happened, like the last few minutes of the game also happened, which is like its own, like separate wild thing that happened.
How many points? It was like a game of Madden. It was crazy.
It was like a game of Madden. Yeah.
How many points were scored in the last 2 minutes? Was it like 20 plus points? Sorry.
25. It was 25. I had to like do the count because I was like, is this the most ever? And then add on another 6 for overtime. So 31 points in, you know, 2 minutes plus whatever that took them to drive that in overtime.
That's wild.
There's a stat, like if you look at Patrick Mahomes, like his stats in the last 2 minutes of the game are like pretty wild too. Just the back and forth of it all at the end of the game. It's just like, it really is unbelievable. It's like, it's a bit of Madden. It's a bit like a movie that would never get made. Like, you know, that they just keep, you know, scoring on each other. It was so fun.
Mahomes had, I saw, this is a painful stat as a Giants fan. Mahomes had more passing yards in the last 2 minutes of the game than the Giants had in their last two regular season games. So. That's where we are as a New York sports fan.
It's the first game in NFL history where both quarterbacks threw for at least 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and they each had at least 50 rushing yards.
I don't mean to dump on the Giants and Jets here, but I saw I saw a tweet that was like, I can't believe this is the same sport that the Giants and the Jets play in reference to this game, which was so true.
Yeah, my dad said the same thing. He texted me during the game. He's like, why can't the Giants or Jets play like this? I'm like, they're on a different planet. This is, you know, not the same sport as what we've been watching. No.
I mean, we should talk about the, like, you know, between the Mahomes comes out, he has 13 seconds to get a field goal, to get on the board for a field goal. And gosh, I remember the commentators at the end of that quarter just being like, the Bills defense will never forget there being 13 seconds on the board. And Mahomes has to go 44 yards and they get a field goal. That was wild. That's
He didn't even need 13. He did it like in 10 seconds. The timeout was like with 2 or 3 seconds left. They didn't even need the full 13.
Gosh, that's not great. But I mean, that's just the way the game was. Just offense. Should we talk about the OT nature of it all? There was an article that came out today that was talking about how in 2019, basically, the reverse thing happened to the Chiefs. The Chiefs, I think they're playing Brady and, they never got the ball and, they lost in overtime in 2019. And the team filed a petition to change the overtime rules so that both teams should get possession of the ball. That worked in their favor, today. Not that the Bills absolutely would have scored a touchdown, but like in this wild game, probably. It does mean that they just score and they get to walk, you know, it's the walk-off. I mean, for fairness, yeah, they should probably both get to a chance on offense unless it's a pick, right? But for the fun of it, you know, I kind of get, you know, the NFL is very much a business. I think they are incredibly happy this weekend with every game ending in the fashion that it did, which was the last play of the game was important. You had to watch it. You know, that's what happened. Whereas like last weekend, like someone was saying, like, wasn't the Cowboys game last weekend fun? I was like, not for the NFL, not for the executives. They're not going to like sit there and be like, wasn't that really fun when our like, you know, a star quarterback like really messed up. That's not good for them. But this weekend is very good for them. So I do not see them changing the overtime rules. But what do you think about the overtime rules?
I think this is actually is going to be what pushes them to change, because I just feel like if the way this game played out, like, who's not wanting to see Josh Allen get the ball again? And even if the opposite, let's say the Bills win the toss, who doesn't want to see Mahomes get the ball again? And it's just such an easy fix, right? It's just each team gets to touch the ball at least once, even with the touchdown. And then like, then it's sudden death. And it just, even just like, I'm fine with this only being like a playoff thing too. Like I get it in the regular season, you know, they're playing so an extra game now. You don't want people to get hurt. Like just, you know, the game ends. But like when it's the playoffs and your season on the line, like let alone this happening again in the Super Bowl, like, I mean, it did happen at the Super Bowl. The Patriots, you know, overtime won the toss, scored that touchdown, and that was it. So, like, I don't know. It just, like, I've seen people say, like, oh, but if you're a defense, you should stop them. But it's like, all right, so let the Chiefs defense stop them also.
Right. People are like, defense is important. It's like, well, the winning team defense isn't that important in this
scenario. Right, exactly. Yeah. The defense is that important, whereas everyone should play defense. So, I just think, you know, in the playoffs, you know, each team gets to touch the ball at least once. No matter what happens, obviously with a turnover, whatever, but you know, touchdown, then sudden death.
What do you think? I don't think the NFL will ever change their rules, to be honest. I think they're kind of steadfast in their ways when it comes to these overtime rules, but I kind of wish they did what Brian just said, and the game played out with like both teams touching the ball and then sudden death. Because imagine if this Bills and Chiefs game had those rules, it would be even more exciting with like Allen getting the ball back, seeing what he'd be able to do. Who's that wide receiver that had 4 touchdowns for them? He could have got
Gabriel
like
Davis.
Davis could have got like a 5th touchdown. Would have been wild. So, yeah, I kind of wish they had the rules for this game in particular. But oh well.
I mean, from, you know, if I put my, like, I am an NFL executive hat on, I'm not. But if I was, and I sit there and I think, what is more, is it more fun that Patrick Mahomes just like scored a touch, like they scored a touchdown, the Chiefs scored it, and that's the game? Or is it like the alternative here where like, yeah, there is this possibility that obviously Josh Allen scores a touchdown, we're tied again. But there's also this like, Josh Allen throws a ball up and it's like, it missed, no catch. And then that's the ending of the game. Like from the like, you know, the like video package, the like way they can talk about the game. Mm-hmm. To me, I just think that they love the idea that like the game ends on the most exciting play rather than, you know, the exciting play being this like, you know, a failure of the offense, right? This is why I think they've kept the rule in place and why I don't think they'll change it, even though I disagree. I think it's more fair if the Bills get to touch the ball, but we'll see. I think the rule is like 24 of the teams have to like agree to the rule change. So I don't, you know, that's a lot of teams.
The only thing giving me hope is like they have changed it in the past. Like at least they
have.
It used to just be, you know, a field goal wins it, which was atrocious. So, you know, they have at least changed it in like, I think that was a fairly recent change. I don't know. I think it was within the last 10 years that they changed it to that. So that gives me some hope that they are willing to bend a little bit. At least in the playoffs. And again, I think they changed it first just for a playoff game and then like expanded it to the regular season. So I think it's possible that they change it.
Zach, is the NBA the only team that's figured out correct overtime rules? Baseball just added the runner on second base.
I think that's gone now. Although I actually kind of like that. I thought it was actually kind of fun. Amazingly.
I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's as bad as some people think it is. I would also, you know, again, this is like the stupid baseball purist in me. It's just like, maybe there shouldn't be a runner on second. Like, how to get there, but that's fine. You know, the NHL still has their shootout. Is the NBA the only one with like good overtime rules? There's not really anything else they could do, right? I mean, they could do, like, slam dunk competition.
It's kind of simple. It's just like a 5-minute overtime. Nothing too special.
Slam dunk would be a lot of fun.
But they just keep doing it, right? They just keep going until there's a winner, right? Is it ever a tie, Zach?
They're just second and third overtimes is what happens. Mm-hmm. So it's just multiple 5-minute periods, basically.
But if it's tied after three, is there then fourth?
Yep. There's been like four overtime games before. So
I remember that is like, I remember my freshman year, I think it was freshman year of college, that Syracuse Big East championship game. I think it went like 9 overtimes. I think it was Syracuse UConn. I think it was like 9 overtimes. That was a ride.
I was just there was the Rafael Nadal game at the Australian Open. They had like a really long tiebreaker set, and I was looking in like what the longest game. It was apparently a game that went like 3 days.
Yeah, I remember that. That was John Isner and somebody else.
Yeah,
the Isner game.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to change. I would like them to change the NFL rule, but gosh, baseball is really basketball is the only one that's got it really nailed down. That's the way to go. All right. That's the weekend, the divisional round weekend, perhaps the best weekend in the history of the NFL. Let's make our predictions for next week's matchups. We have the Bengals will be at the Chiefs on Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, and then the 49ers at the Rams at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Let's start with Bengals and Chiefs. Who do you got?
I'll say the Chiefs win. I'll say it's a close game, though. I'll say the Chiefs win. 27-21.
Oh, scores. Okay, Zach, what do you think?
I think the Chiefs also win. I'll be rooting for the Bengals just because the Chiefs have already won and I want some different team to win. But I'll say the Chiefs win like 30-14.
Yeah, that's a score. That's kind of where I'm thinking that I would really love it to be a close game, but I just think the Chiefs have such a stronger offense than the Bengals. So, the Bengals defense. Yeah, I think gosh, we all said Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go for the upset. Let's have the, even though I just said there's how I don't think it will happen. But let's say like the Bengals win, like, I don't know, like what, like 30-27. That'll be fun. All right. What about the 49ers at the Rams?
I saw someone point out that, I think they said it would be really cool if it was the Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl, because that was kind of how COVID, like that was like the first, that was like the last event before COVID, like really took over that Super Bowl.
True.
So it'd be kind of funny if we bring that back.
Would and be
like,
fun.
Okay, all right, let's end COVID with that Super Bowl.
That would be fun. That's a good call.
I'm going to say the 49ers pull off the upset for the COVID trilogy.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. A low scoring game. I'll say 17-14.
What are you saying?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Rams. I think their offense, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is kind of a very average quarterback. I don't know if he'll be able to carry the 49ers past the Rams, even though he's carried them this far. And there's rumors that they might even trade him after this season. I have a friend who's a big 49ers fan was saying that they might just build around Trey Lance. So, but hey, maybe Jimmy G can lead them to the promised land one more time, but I don't see it happening. I think the Rams pull this game out fairly easily, to be honest.
All right. I am kind of rooting for the 49ers. I think that this like low scoring upsets has been pretty fun. I still like 24-14 for the 49ers to beat the Rams, which would set up a 49ers, you know, if our predictions are at 49ers Chiefs Super Bowl. That would be very fun. All right. We are going to jump into the world of the NBA. Zach, we asked you to come on, give us the update on the world of the NBA. We are, what are we, a little bit past midseason, but we haven't had the All-Star break yet or the trade deadline, right? But gearing up for both of those things. Where are we at in the world of the NBA?
Yeah, so a lot of things are happening in the NBA. I feel like COVID has like kind of hit the NBA hard. So a lot of teams have had random other players step up for their teams. Like a lot of familiar faces returned to the NBA. Isaiah Thomas came back for a cup of tea. So did ISO Joe. Joe Johnson came back. So the NBA has been very interesting this year. But one team in particular has been super exciting, and nobody expected them to be this good. They are both my biggest surprise and the most exciting team to watch, the Memphis Grizzlies. I feel like nobody expected them to be this good. Preseason evaluations had them as a middle of the road team, but they've been proving everybody wrong. Led by Ja Morant, he's just incredible. He's their point guard. He's 6'1". He's like, people are comparing him to Allen Iverson. He's just so good at getting into the paint. I think he's like third in the league in points in the paint, which is insane for a point guard. And he's just been balling out. And he was injured for 12 games. And yet in those 12 games, they went 10-2 and set the record for the most lopsided NBA victory in history when they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder by 73 points, I think it was. So even without Ja, they've been rolling. Pardon me, Brian?
Did they cover the spread?
They cover the spread.
I think they covered the spread like tenfold. But yeah, so they've really stepped up. They have players like Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. who have just been balling out. But yeah, the Memphis Grizzlies are one of my two biggest surprises this year.
Yeah, I feel like a team sort of has to be, I think it's good if they're in the surprise category, because I'm looking at their roster. I just like basically don't know anybody, which maybe says more about me than anything else, which is totally fair. But yeah, I'm like, gosh, I don't, nothing even like kind of recognizable here, but that's fun. I've been to Memphis. I really love the city. So yeah. And yeah, formerly the Vancouver Grizzlies. So.
Yep, formerly the Vancouver Grizzlies, and they've been doing well. And then my other biggest surprise in the Eastern Conference is the Cleveland Cavaliers. This team was ranked like 27th in the preseason by ESPN, and they're currently fifth in the Eastern Conference, only two games back of first place. And like, they do something cool. While the NBA skews towards smaller lineups, they run a 7-footer as a small forward in a Lauri Markkanen. So they just play like huge ball rather than like small ball lineups that the Warriors and the Bulls run with shorter players. So they just run 3 7-footers out there, and they're doing really well. They got point guard Darius Garland has just been balling out, as well as Evan.
Nobody's
Mobley.
Tried that before? Just send all your tall people on the court at once?
No, nobody's ever tried it. Apparently Philadelphia had the intention of drafting multiple 7-footers to run like 5 7-footers as a lineup, but no team has really tried it and had the success that the Cavaliers are doing. So
Kevin Love is still in Cleveland. Yeah.
Yes, he is. He's a rotational piece, and he's been playing well in like a limited role.
Okay. Fun. Yeah. See, this is why like outdated. Like Kevin Love. How about that guy? Huh?
Yeah, but they have the rookie of the year probably in Evan Mobley. He's a 7-foot power forward, and he's just really good on defense, very polished offensively. He basically plays like a veteran. And yeah, they're my biggest surprise, because I don't think anybody had them even making the playoffs, and they're the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference currently.
So you did talk a little bit about the playoffs. Was it starting last year? When did they start the play-in round? When did they start that?
They started it 2 years ago. I think they started it in the bubble. I have some notes on the play-in tournament. I don't like it, really. I think they should have just stuck with how it was, where basically they have seeding 1 through 8, and then the top 8 seeds in each conference make the playoffs. But so for years, they had that system, but the executives in charge decided to make some changes. So basically, the play-in tournament, the 7th and 8th seeds play each other, and then whoever wins that game becomes the 7th seed. And the loser of that game plays the winner of whoever wins between the 9th and the 10th seeds. So the 10th seed can potentially make the playoffs as the 8th seed if they beat the loser of the 7th and the 8th seed games in a one-off game at the end of the season.
I love when
it feels like a Renap idea. Yeah, I feel like Robin and Kiva would have shot this data if we like, put on the wheel.
Like, you know what? Let's really make this simple. 7 and 8 play, and then the loser that plays again, and then they play another one. That's too much.
I hate it. It's way too complicated. I think they just did it because they thought they got a big ratings bump from it, is my guess. But
well,
I'm
it's
not
more,
a fan.
You know, there's every league kind of is like, how can we have more playoff games? They make us a lot of money. And then, it's this attempt perhaps to, you know, have more teams in contention so that there's less teams who are tanking. So I get it. This one feels pretty messy. LeBron hated it, right? Wasn't that the thing you came out and said he hated it?
Yeah, LeBron's not a fan. I'm not a fan. It's not fun, to be honest.
I LeBron's never going to have to play in a play-in game.
No,
like, he might I'm not have really to play. Worried about whether they play more games. It's like, he's just
LeBron might have to play in it this year, actually, because the Lakers are currently the eighth seed and they are my biggest disappointment this year. The Los Angeles Lakers.
That we definitely planned. The Lakers, not doing well.
The Lakers have been terrible. They traded for Russell Westbrook, or they signed him, and the Russell Westbrook experiment has failed miserably. And now they find themselves as the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. Anthony Davis has been out 4 to 6 weeks. I think he's returning this Tuesday. And even when he was playing quite horribly, shooting career lows from the field. LeBron is LeBron, though. He's an ageless human who is still producing at an MVP level, but even he can't carry this group of like lazy veterans in Westbrook. This team sucks. They'll probably they might make the sixth seed. LeBron might be able to carry them like to the sixth seed, but as of now, they're currently in the play-in tournament.
He needs to be in the sixth seed to not be in the play-in tournament, right?
Yes, exactly.
Come on, LeBron. But he'll just play in it, and then if he loses, he'll just say it's a bad system, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
When's he going back to Cleveland? When's the cover story coming home again?
Honestly, it would be a better spot for him than the Lakers currently. Cleveland has a better supporting cast at the moment. So if he did go back to Cleveland, it would make sense. They could draft his son as an incentive for him to play. His son's going to be eligible to be drafted in, I think, 2 years. So
that would be wild. LeBron and his son playing together? That would be wild.
Yeah, a little Bronny James Jr. might be playing with his dad. We'll see.
Wow. All right. Lakers, not exactly doing well this year. Who else you got?
So I have four contenders. I have two in each conference. So these are the teams that I just personally think have the strongest chances of winning the championships. I know some listeners may disagree, but these are
Hope you cater to both Brian and I. You have the Raptors and the Knicks on this list. I'm sure
this list is very invalid.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're on there. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't have the Raptors and the Knicks listed here.
What do you mean? Sadly, the ninth and 11th seed in the Eastern Conference?
Yes. The Knicks in particular, they could be listed as my biggest disappointment. Last year, I think they were the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. And this year, they're just not playing well. Julius Randle has regressed a little bit. So
I've heard the idea for Big Brother, you're supposed to sleep the first half of the season and then you wake up and get going. Could the Knicks or the Raptors, could one of them, have they just been carefully sleeping the first
half? Maybe Julius Randle is going to be on Celebrity Big Brother. Maybe that's
That's right. Who are your contenders then, Zach?
Okay, so my contenders, we'll start with the Eastern Conference since we're talking about the Raps and the Knicks. We'll go with the Bucks. Now, the Bucks, they won the championship last year, led by former MVP, the Greek Freak, with one of the most beautiful names in basketball, Giannis Antetokounmpo. The defending champions, they've just been solid the whole season. I think they're currently fourth in the Eastern Conference, but they're only a couple of games back of first place. Giannis is just one of the most athletic players who like ever plays, like the most dominant physical force since like LeBron or Shaq.
I think they're only a game back. I think they are 30-19, whereas the Heat are 30-17. So they're actually only like a game back.
Oh, exactly. There you go. Yeah, so they're only a game back of first place. And they haven't even had their starting center, Brooke Lopez, for a large chunk of the season. But Milwaukee fan favorite Bobby Portis has stepped up and played center admirably in his absence. And with Giannis anchoring the defense and like beasting on offense, the Bucks, they're going to be a contender for like years to come. Probably they'll always be in the mix.
Gosh, there was so much like Giannis to Toronto rumors, and he just was like, "No, I'm just going to stay here forever," which is I quite like, but you know,
that's the thing with Toronto; they just need a superstar. If Kawhi Leonard was still on this team,
that's all they need. Just that.
Yep. They just need. Yeah, I know it's easier said than done, but they need like a consistent first option. Like Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet are not like they're not first options on a championship contender.
Mm-hmm. Are there two of them on the team? I can't pronounce
it. It's all good. Yes, there's another aunt. His brother plays on the team as well, Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
I did not know that. Has he played there for a long time?
No, they just signed him a couple of years ago, I think.
Oh, that's incredible.
He's kind of a bench player. He doesn't play too much, but it's good morale for Giannis to have his brother on the team. So I'm sure Milwaukee like acquiesced a little bit and was like, okay, we'll sign your brother.
It's just in case they lose his jersey. They can just, get his brother's jersey. That
one. They wear 34 and 43. That's incredible. They just swap the numbers. That's great. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Okay, who else?
And my other contender is the Brooklyn Nets. Now, even though they're missing KD for 4 to 6 weeks, Kevin Durant, their superstar, due to an MCL sprain, I think having James Harden, their other superstar, he'll be able to carry this team and keep them afloat. And they just have such a hyper-offensive team. Like, they just have firepower out the wazoo, especially with Kyrie recently, polarizing figure in the NBA, Kyrie Irving, with his anti-vax stance, being allowed to play in road games only. So he can't play at home in the city of, in the state of New York, due to New York's vaccine regulations, but he can play on the road for some reason. So they've had him back and he's been playing well. So
they have Blake Griffin too.
Yeah, they have Blake Griffin. He doesn't play too much anymore, sadly. He's just on the bench, but upon a time, Blake
Griffin. Is he still doing Kia commercials?
No, he doesn't do Kia commercials anymore. I think they've moved on to like measure face.
He keeps trying to do Kia commercials. Like, we don't need that. But he keeps like doing them, performing them. Yeah. All right. So the Bucks and the Nets, the contenders. You see the Heat and the Bulls. You don't,
Heat are like my honorable mention team. They've been very interesting. They've had a lot of injuries, especially to their stars, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, their two best players. And yet, like, they have a bunch of unknown players who have been stepping up for them, like Turkish center Omer Yurtseven and Max Struth have just stepped up.
You don't need to. Yurnis Spirtsev, you don't need to tell us twice. We know Yurnis Spirtsev.
Yeah, you don't need to tell you guys about
the listeners know Yurnis Spirtsev. So that's I would be very excited for Kyle Lowry to get a ring. I mean, he got a ring in Toronto, but to get another one in Miami. As I was just saying before, sometimes you start to like kind of root for these teams because your favorite players go somewhere else. So I'd be very happy for Kyle Lowry if the Heat pulled it out this year.
Yeah, and the thing with the Heat is that if they stay the number one seed, then they could get lucky, because then the Bucks and the Nets would have to play each other in the second round, just like last year. So if that happens, then the Heat would have an easier path to the finals. So I could definitely, the Heat are like my fifth contender in my rankings, basically. They're up there. But my other two are in the Western Conference. I got the Suns and the Warriors. So the Phoenix Suns, they're just a juggernaut on both sides of the ball. They're poised to prove that their NBA Finals appearance last year was not a fluke. They're a top five offense and defense, which is pretty wild, led by future Hall of Famer Chris Paul and star Devin Booker. This team's just been like shining like a diamond throughout the regular season. The only question that remains is, can their star player Chris Paul stay healthy? He's had a couple of injuries in the past playoffs. Most recently, he injured his shoulder last year in the playoffs. And who knows, if he was healthy, maybe they could have knocked off the champion Bucks. But the Phoenix Suns, they are balling out. They're currently first in the whole league in the Western Conference. They're just on another level right now.
That's fine. Again, I don't need to keep showing my Canadianness, but Phoenix Suns, Steve Nash played for the Phoenix Suns at one point in his career, I believe. So
yes, he did.
Was a fan of the Phoenix Suns of sorts. So it's fun to see them. Devin Booker's fun.
Yeah, Devin Booker is a lot of fun. I agree.
Now, here's the big puzzle piece here is, why do you have the Golden State Warriors as contenders? How could they possibly be contenders?
Well, what's crazy about the Golden State Warriors is that they have the best defense in the league, even without Klay Thompson, which is very impressive.
He's
honestly.
Back.
Who's back? Yeah. But they've had some ups and downs. I think they're 5-4 since Klay has returned, and he has not been playing that well. He's shooting like 40% from the field or something like that, which is below average for an NBA player. And I don't even think Klay Thompson should be starting. I think they were better off with Jordan Poole starting. They had a much better defense and offense when with Jordan Poole. But Golden State, they're always a contender. I mean, Draymond Green has emerged as a front runner for Defensive Player of the Year as the defensive anchor for this team. And then they have Steph Curry, who is the greatest shooter basketball has ever seen. So having Steph Curry on your team kind of automatically makes you a contender in a way.
I thought the Klay Thompson return moment was really cool. Who was it? Was it Draymond wanted to? He's injured, but he came.
Draymond. He did the tip and then he subbed off because he
wanted a sports betting controversy when that happened too, because there was reports that he was going to do that, so people flooded to bet all of his unders, because normally if you're ruled out, like your player over unders don't count, but because he played and there was reports of him doing that, everyone was able to like bet his under for points and rebounds and everything, and it all cashed, so they had to pay it out, and then they voided anyone who just happened did not know what was going on and bet the over so that they avoided it. To, you know, to be a good sport, but they paid out all the under bets.
I didn't know that.
I need that better sources on this one. I didn't get a tip off on that one until after the fact.
Only Draymond got the tip off. And then how's Andrew Wiggins doing in Golden State?
He's doing quite well. Maple Jordan, as they fondly call him.
Oh, I haven't heard that one. I like that. All right, that's your contenders. Some surprises. Anything else about the NBA we should know?
There's some other teams. I mean, there's like Utah, Chicago, Philadelphia, and Dallas could all win a playoff series. I think my two favorite players in the regular season have been Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid. While their teams have failed them, those two players are probably the two most exciting big men in basketball and like players in basketball right now. Both of them put up like gaudy stat lines almost every game.
We did get a request. It was, I said, you both are coming on. This is what we're talking about. Anything that you want us to talk about? And somebody just wrote Joel Embiid. Just talk about Joel
Embiid. Yeah, so, I mean, Joel Embiid is just a beast. Like, he's on another level. I love big men in basketball. Hakeem Olajuwon was my favorite player, even though I never got to grow up and watch him play. And just the way Joel Embiid, he can shoot. He's got moves in the post. He can just do it all on offense and defense. So he's such a standout player. It's too bad Ben Simmons is having these contract issues and isn't playing. Hopefully they can trade him and get another star for Joel Embiid.
Tell me about this. So some of my favorite sports stuff is the really like mechanical stuff. I love trade deadlines. What's coming in the trade deadline? Is it like, is Ben Simmons, is that the biggest name who'll be traded? Trade deadline?
Yeah, that's the biggest name, but the Philadelphia is asking for a lot for him and he might not be traded by the end of this year. So if he's not traded, he plans on sitting out the whole year and just waiting out. Yeah. And signing with another team or something like that. So,
wow, what a good sport.
I know.
Yeah.
What is the history of sports? Has it ever worked out for the player to sit that entire year? I feel like that. Like, how many more examples do we need that this is just a horrific decision to do?
And especially because he's the one who failed them in the playoffs too. Like, there was a possession last year where he had a wide open dunk and then he passed it off to his teammate who missed a layup, and he was the kind of the player who choked, and now he's just sitting out. So I love Ben Simmons as a player, or I used to, but now I'm not really a fan.
I mean, since I was drafted in the NBA, I've sat out every year. All right, that's the NBA.
I'm going to tell Allie, I'm sitting out all next challenge season, pulling out for a better contract. Yeah.
I wanted to be traded stronger. To, what podcast should we trade you to?
Trade me to the Bachelor podcast, you there.
Brian, we have invented the off, you know, the sports wrap-up offseason where we make podcast deals. Going to be very fun. What trades should we make? No, we won't do that. It feels like maybe it could hurt some feelings.
And don't put that on RHP out of context, please, Twitter. Don't make Allie mad at me for saying that.
All right, that's our NBA update. Thank you so much, Zach. That was very fun. But I have a game for us. We're going to do, this is a classic from the B&B, so I blatantly stole it. We're going to play the anagram game. So I have come up with some anagrams. I've typed some of either a team name, an NBA term, or player into the anagram filter and saw what it spit out. And I'm going to tell you the anagram. You have to guess who it is. I think as we've been doing on the Sports or Hap Up, you two can play as a team. So the two of you will work together. Would you like to know what category the word comes from, player, team, terminology, or do you want hard mode? Where it could be any of those.
You want to start on hard mode and then get a hint if we're struggling?
Okay.
Sure. Let's do it up.
Okay. The first one, what anagram spit out cherry spurt? And I'll spell that for you. Myself. Cherry.
Yeah, I need to have
cherry, C-H-E-R-R-Y, and then spurt, S-P-U-R-T. Cherry spurt.
Cherry spurt. I'm stumped already.
I know this is a stupid question, but remind me how anagrams work. Does that mean it's going to be a two word thing?
It doesn't have to be a two word.
It could be anything.
It could be anything.
Okay.
I could tell you that if you wanted.
I don't know about you, Brian, but I think I'm going to need the hint already.
I think
word clue. So either two word team name, two word terminology, two whatever. And it's, but it is a player, a two word player. That doesn't have, if it's a player, yeah, it's two words.
Is it Steph Curry?
It is Steph Curry.
Oh,
I wish I had a nice bell. I should get a Rob style bell. Yeah, Steph Curry can spit out cherry spurt, which I very much like. this one you're gonna get. Ban.
Ban?
Ban. B-A-N.
NBA?
Yes.
Okay.
There's only so many things it could be.
Who's a mobile Jedi, I guess, is what I meant to say.
Mobile.
Star Wars fan. The Star Wars sports fans crossover are going to be very mad.
So J-E-T-I?
D-I. Mobile and then J-E-D-I.
D-I. Yeah, the Star Wars people are going to come for me.
Yeah, now. They're going to be so mad.
Mobile Jedi.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should take the hint. Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
It's a player.
Let's take the hint.
It's a player.
I'll give you more hints. Whoever is keeping score at home, I'll say the more hints I give you, the
less. Ooh, I think I got it.
Yeah.
Is it the person that you were just asked about? Is it Joel Embiid?
It is Joel Embiid. Yeah, he's a mobile Jedi. Or a Jedi, if you're not a Star Wars fan.
I'm just bad at anagrams. I don't know what it is. Usually word games are my thing. Like, I play the Wordle. I don't update my scores on Twitter, but I do play it.
This one, you should get this.
Yeah, about Wordle, like, does everyone forget that this was like, this is lingo, right? Like, everyone knows this is lingo, right? Only, this has been around forever.
Only if you love the Game Show Network, like me and Brian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, this is great. We've have so much more in common.
Well, so is that Chuck Woolery, right?
Yeah, Chuck Woolery. How about this one? This one, you're going to get it. I loved it too much to not include it, even though I think it's too obvious. Which Knickers wonky? I guess you could say wonky Knickers as well.
I mean, is it just New York Knicks?
It's New York Knicks, yeah. But I liked it too much. Okay, mouth PJs.
Ooh.
It's mouth a terminology, PJs. So it's not a player or
team. That's PJAS or like PEG.
Mouths actually. No, mouth PJs. And then PJS. Yeah, PJs.
Oh, PJS.
Okay. Like the acronym for pajamas. It's a terminology word. It's something you could do in a game. You could
jump shot. One.
Yeah, you could take a jump shot. Yeah, mouth.
There we go.
All right, let's do a couple more. I like this one. Slob tectonics.
Slob tectonics.
Yeah.
Slob tectonics. All right. So we have just a large slob causing earthquakes.
It's a team. It's a team.
All right.
It's a team. Who are the Slob Tectonics? When I get my expansion team, we're going to be the Slob Tectonics.
They can go up against the Wiggler Wombats.
Yeah, that's right. The Wonky Knickers.
Slob Tectonics.
All right. You want the? They are in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, it's the Boston Celtics. Let's. Who's Acid Unlock.
Acid Unlock.
Yeah. It's a player.
Acid Unlock. Man, I feel like I should know all of these. I'm really stumped on my basketball knowledge.
This one I'm not seeing. Let's see. Acid Unlock.
Acid Unlock. Player. This one's kind of tricky because he does have some things on the top of the letters of the name. So, do you know what the name of that?
Oh, those I know what you're talking about.
Oh, I know this. Luka Doncic.
That's right. Luka Doncic. All right. And I'll give you one more. Which team are the Scalloping Sleepers?
Scalloping Sleepers. Scalloping Sleepers.
Their team. They are on the West Coast. They're in the Western Conference.
It's not San Antonio because it doesn't have any L's.
There's a team in the same city as them. That's pretty.
Los Angeles Clippers.
It's the LA Clippers. Yeah, they're the Scalloping Sleepers. You did it. You did pretty well. You did pretty good. That was fun.
Good job. Here we go.
All right. That's our game. You win. We didn't keep score. If someone's keeping score at home, I don't know. Write that down. We'll ask for it later. Let's move on. Let's do some quick hits around the rest of the sports world, stuff we're not going to spend ton of time on. This is my favorite story from the week. Did we all hear about Odell Beckham Jr.'s salary struggles? So Odell Beckham Jr. Apparently chose to get paid in Bitcoin. I am not a tax expert, but it sounds like what basically is that because he has to pay tax on the salary he got when he got paid, but because the price of Bitcoin, the worth of it has gone down, he has to pay tax on money that is now worth less money. So he's going to he basically has only made $36,000. It is a lot of money, just not a lot of money for a professional athlete. Sounds like he made a giant mistake.
Got a hodl. Hodl that Bitcoin.
So I think if you're thinking about getting paid in Bitcoin, just be cautious.
Yeah, maybe take a percentage of it. Maybe not all. I don't know. Maybe 10% in Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think he made a grave mistake here. There was an NBA player a couple of years ago who took his whole salary in Bitcoin. I think it was Spencer Dinwiddie.
Is he still in the league?
Yeah, he's still in the league.
Well, if he did it a couple of years ago, then he's in much better shape.
That's true. Yes, exactly. You get it on the rise, it's much better.
He's doing fine, I think, with his Bitcoin. But poor Odell, sadly, making only $36,000. Wow, that's shocking.
So that story came out. Baseball fan Brian Zach said you dabble in baseball a little bit. The Hall of Fame results will be announced tomorrow. Obviously, the big question, it's the last year for a lot of these guys who have made strong cases on the field and perhaps not super strong cases off the field. I guess also on the field, there's a case where they shouldn't be in. A lot of our PED users. I don't know. I'm a bit of an, I think that there are people in the Hall of Fame who have cheated and who are worse people than folks in the Hall of Fame or on the ballot. And so this is a tough one because it sounds like that guy cheated. I think he should still get in. But I just feel like the line is so murky that we're redrawing the line now. It just feels weird to me.
Yeah. I mean, by all accounts, Ty Cobb is one of the worst humans to ever play professional sports, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So I've always been a proponent to put these guys in. And also, they're sort of in the Hall of Fame. I know they don't have a plaque and they don't have a day. But if you go to the Hall of Fame, all of their stuff is there. Barry Bonds, his bat, his ball, there's pictures of him, there's videos of him in the gallery and stuff celebrating him. So they're all there. Just put the plaque there. I don't know. It's kind of ridiculous. Just let's put them in, put a little asterisk or a note on his plaque, may have taken performance drugs or don't. Bonds and Clemens are two of the greatest people that have ever played baseball, and they're not in the Hall of Fame. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. What do you think, Zach?
I agree with both you guys. I think let him in. I think there's probably steroid cheats who are in the Hall of Fame too. So I think just let him in. I don't think there's anything else you should be doing here. Just let them all in.
There's an interesting case here where Alex Rodriguez is I think last year was it his first year? I can't remember. He's pulling around 40%.
His first year.
This is his first year. So he's pulling around 40%. He's pretty strong. That he definitely won't get in. But he is in the era where he did get suspended for using PEDs. Right. So people feel he's got caught and Scott Rolen is somebody who can have a chance. Todd Helton, is somebody I think. But I think the big question is Bonds, Clemens, Schilling, as people who
Schilling should be in. He's a horrible person, but it's the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Fame of good people and role models. So I don't know.
Kurt Schilling, he's the one who had the bloody sock game, right?
Yeah. We don't talk about that though, Zach.
Sorry, Brian.
Dave Ortiz, he's also up. Am I remembering that correctly? Looks like he probably get in.
And it's kind of ridiculous because people just voting for him because they like it. But he's in the same boat that like Bob, Clemens, and A-Rod. Like they're all in the same steroid boat. So
has David Ortiz been caught using steroids? Because I have a Red Sox fan friend who I always joke about it. I'm like, oh, you know, David Ortiz is on steroids, right? He always gets pissed at me when I bring it up.
So his name got leaked as part of I think in like 2003 as a thing as like he's definitely a guy doing it, but he never failed a test when they started testing.
They did like a whole like a quote unquote anonymous testing, and they said, "Don't worry, these names will never come out." And supposedly he failed that one, but like you said, Grace, like never an official test. But we all know
Bonds and Clemens haven't failed the test either.
Yeah. Right, very true.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see it. You know, I think probably the most likely thing is that David Ortiz gets in and nobody else gets in. I think it's probably
I think Schilling will get in. I think he was pretty close. Last time, I think he got almost 70% last time, I think. So I think Schilling will get in. And I think this is his last time, too. I think he'll get it.
What do you think? Sneak in. Do you think is it working? This, like, I love the, like, percentages thing of, like, this, but it just feels like, gosh, just, I mean, people can have their own opinions, but some of the ballots are just so bad. Are these people who have publicly.
Well, some of the rules are stupid. Like you can vote for a maximum of 10 people, which I never understand. Like if there just so happens to be 11 people that you feel are in the Hall of Fame, like you should be able to vote for as many people as you want. People that vote for no one, I hate those people.
The no one, or like what's even more for is when they're just like, I'm only voting for Omar Vizquel.
Right.
Get out of here.
People, or the people, there's people who vote for Bonds and not Clemens and Clemens and not Bonds. It's like, I feel like you need to pick a side there.
I agree. Anyway, interesting stuff. That will all come up tomorrow. So, you know, obviously we are predicting, and you might already know what happened. Shout out to all the Edmonton Oilers fans who saw their team finally win a game after a very long streak of not winning a game. So exciting for them. The Australian Open has been happening, and they are, as we speak tonight on Monday night, in the quarterfinals again. I'm very excited. There are two Canadians in the men quarterfinals. They have very tough matchups. Both of these guys, one of them is playing the number two seed, Medvedev, and the other one is playing Rafael Nadal, who did look kind of beatable the other day. He did end up winning, his matchup, but, Chapo and, the other guy's name, do you know it, Zach? The other guy's name.
I think it's Ogier Olyosim.
That's right. Yes. So that'll be fun. Just to, over on the women's side, Barty, the Australian number one seed, remains in the tournament. So that, you know, kind of rooting for that feels like the most fun story. The finals, I believe, wrap up in about a week's time. So probably next week we'll have more on the Australian Open. The other of you tennis fans?
I dabble in it a little bit. I have a friend who's Serbian who loves tennis. So then I'll always watch, like, I used to watch the Djokovic games with him. Not anymore. So, but besides
that, I wait for Twitter to alert me when there's a great match going on, and then I flip to it and put it on.
Yeah, that's
true. Usually how I will do it.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it for this week. I think that's where we'll leave it. Thank you both for coming on. Brian, where can people find you and what are you up to?
You can find me on Twitter at @CohenBrian_. You can normally find me on the Challenge Podcast, but like I said, I'm sitting the season out for a contract negotiations. But the Challenge All Stars season 3 should be coming soonish, I guess. They haven't really announced the date yet, but Ali and I will cover that. You're as well as
pumping whatever. These things out. It feels
It's nonstop. It's a full time kick.
This is like, gosh, I always empathize with the drag race podcasters because it feels like they'd never have an off season, but you're getting pretty close.
This all started ended like 2 weeks ago now, and we're on extended break right now with no Challenge going on right now. But yeah, you can normally catch Ali and I covering Challenge All Stars and Challenge proper.
Amazing. Zach, where can people find you and what are you up to?
People can find me on Twitter at ZachMuhammad32. I'm not currently up to too much, but I recently, about 3 weeks ago, finished up Aang in There, Avatar The Last Airbender rewatch podcast with Jacob Redman on post-show recaps. That was a lot of fun to go through. It took us like a year and a half and we finished the whole series. So yeah, that's where you can find me if you just want to re-listen to some of my older podcasts.
Amazing. I've never done the, the Avatar dive in, but, people really like it. People love it. People love it. I mean, you podcast about the whole thing. Obviously, people love it. Yeah. I'm on Twitter at @HiGrace, doing a lot of stuff over on post show recaps, including Euphoria recaps with Amon, as well as we just did some Yellow Jackets coverage. We watched that. Landscapers, an HBO show. There's 4 episodes of that. Sarah Carradine and I did that. We are starting coverage of Raised by Wolves. Josh Wigler, myself, and a special guest yet to be announced are going to dive through all of season 1, which aired in 2020 at some point, and now season 2 comes out. Fun little HBO Max show. It's very weird. It's very odd and strange, but it's very good. Sci-fi e-show. Yeah, I think that's it.
I feel like Euphoria is a show I should be watching, right? I see a lot of buzz about it. Is it good?
So I struggle with this a lot, with the idea that, like, so it's very good. It's pretty dark, and it's also like, you watch The OC, so
yeah, it's like a high school it's right at my alley.
It's like elevated dark The OC, okay. Kind of, you know, like they're doing a lot of drugs, it's, everybody's sleeping with each other. Mm-hmm. But it's good. It's very, I mean, it's Zendaya, very good,
right?
Yeah, it's good. It's worth watching. Why don't I check it out with you know, a rotating panel of guests each week, so come check that out. That's it. As last week, we established the end of the podcast. We just like to say the podcast is over.